Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good evening and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministries. So delighted today to be back on our radio broadcast for a leadership class on today. I just give God all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, I give him praise on today. I magnify his holy name on today. We're going to get ready to have a scripture and a prayer. We're not going to even have a song because this is teaching, and we want to keep it the way God wants us to keep it. So we're not going to have a song. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thoughts of every one of them, and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongues to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the works of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doings. I have just read you the first 9 verses of Psalm 64. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come humbly before your throne of grace on today, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, God, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come today, God, just confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, I come right now just thanking and praising you for this opportunity to study your word, God. I ask you tonight to give us more wisdom and knowledge that only you can give us, God. In the name of Jesus, open up our understanding, open up our minds on tonight that we may understand your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to bless everyone under the sound of my voice and those that will come, God. I ask you to cover them and bless them and their families. In Jesus' name, I bind the strong man. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every medium, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is counsel. I bind up confusion in the name of Jesus. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. We're just going to get ready. We're going to try to get through the first 10 pages. And that shouldn't take long because these are small pages. But the first 11 pages. The first page is on being a pastor. And then we're going to be talking about entering into the Christian ministry and then preaching the gospel. Those three, we want to just go over that in your minister's handbook. Okay. entering the Christian ministry, the very fact that you are holding this book in your hand indicate that you are probably the pastor or minister, I'm going to say minister of a church, or that you are considering entering the Christian ministry, or just possibly you may be a lay officer of the church whose responsibility make it important for you to understand and support the pastor's work. So let us begin the section on being a pastor with a chapter on what it means to be a minister of Jesus Christ. As we continue, we shall deal in other chapters of the ministry that are unique to the pastorate of a church. Now, what I want to ask you all tonight, just starting right here, what does it mean to you to be a call minister? What does it mean to you personally to be called by God as a minister, as a prophetess? What does that mean to you? What benefits would you have out of this? Anybody?
Well, I believe that it means that God called you on for a bigger task, like to teach, and some preach, and I want to say prophesy too, but mm-hmm. I feel like it's to teach, preach, and you know, to save as many souls as you can for Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
For the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing, I think. Who? Anybody else?
I think it means to me a different level of servantship onto God's people, a higher level, a higher responsibility, which entails everything, you know, from praying, aiding, and whatever else, I guess, that the individual or group of people need.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, to me, like a different level of servantship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? And I understand if you can't speak. I do understand that.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
You know, Apostle, you know, to be honest, being a minister means nothing to me if you don't see it if I'm not fulfilling the true purpose of the kingdom. It's just another title. So
right.
for me, with ministry, it's not like a job or a type. That's a way of living for me.
Okay.
Right. So to me, it's a lifestyle of encouraging others through their storms, leading people through the word of God to God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is ministering. It's like an assignment.
Absolutely, it's
an
assignment.
That's the way I look at it.
Amen. It's an assignment. Anyone else? We ask the question, what does it mean to you as a person to be a minister? Or call minister, prophetess, whatever it is. Okay. To me, to be a call minister, of God, it means, it's like a wrong say, to be a servant of the Lord, to do whatever. And it is, and I feel like everyone was right. I feel like everyone that said something was right. Everyone, it's an assignment. It's a different responsibility. And it's to minister, to bring souls to Christ. All of that is important to the Lord. Every bit of it. Every bit of it is important to him. But the first priority, I think, is to save souls, to bring souls in, and to be a servant of the Most High. You know, being a minister is to serve. Being a call, because back in Jesus' day, they didn't have really nothing hardly, you know, but they just wanted to serve because Jesus was teaching them, and they saw how and what he was doing, and he stayed and kept himself humble before them. So to me, it's each one of you was right. But to me, it's just a privilege, and it's just an honor for me to be a servant or to be used by God. It's such an honor for me. You know, and people don't even have an idea. They don't have an idea of what we go through, even being ministers. I mean, because you have to, being a minister, you have to reach the person on their level. You can't act like you got all this and you that and you this. You got to come down to where they are. You got to meet them where they are. That's what you have to do. It was in a day and a time when I went out, my ex-husband and I. And we ministered to the prostitutes and the pimps. And they locked us up because they thought we were out there. But we was ministering to them, trying to save souls, bringing souls in. That was very, very dangerous for us from around them. But I'd rather obey God than man. And I did. I gave clothes. They came to church. Some of them did, and the one that didn't, her head was cut off her body. But the ones that did, God was grateful. So it's things like this that you may see, that you may experience being a called minister, a called prophetess, you know, being in a leadership position. And see, we have to know what characteristics of what is the characteristics of a good leader. A good leader would listen. They are listening. First of all, they don't think they more, and you know, you got some ministers. Anyway, I don't want to say nothing about people, but we don't want to be that way. We want to keep ourselves humble before the Lord, because God can deal with His own ministers. I don't have to do anything. God'll do it. But we have to always know that we need to keep ourselves humble. And we have to always know that we can't, when we ministering to somebody, it's not like we better than they are, or that we know and we think, and because you got a doctorate, you more than them. That's not what God wants. He don't care about no PhD. He don't care about that, no doctor on your name. Care about is winning souls for him. That's the most important thing to God. living the life that God had for you to live and being a servant for him, because we're only here for his pleasure and his purpose, nothing else. Nothing else. So we're going to go on. Those were all good. They were all, every last one of them. So we're going to go on to the call, minister. Most Christians believe in the ideal of Christian vocation. By this, they mean that the literal translation of the word vocation means calling is appropriate to whatever work we do. We believe that God calls us to use the talent given us in some way that will glorify God and to contribute to the betterment of the world in which we live. We may be called by God to teach school, to care for the sick, to manufacture useful products, to prepare food, to care for children, to perform scientific research, or to provide wholesome entertainment. The list goes on and on. If we cannot in some way see God's calling in the work we do, we may want to reconsider our vocation. God does give us all gifts. And sometimes people can see their gifts and sometimes they don't. God has given us all gifts in some way or another. But these gifts, some of them, and well, all of them can be used for the glory of God. All of them can. Every last one of them can, that I just read. Because when you teach school, you're an example for the child. When you care for the sick, you know that you're serving God. When you manufacture useful parts, that's still us being a servant, because even though you're getting paid for this work, you're still letting God use you. Products can help people, sick people, all kind of things. And then prepare food, feed the sick, care for children, to perform scientific research. I just say to perform research. I don't know about all the scientific stuff, but or to provide wholesome entertainment. I don't know about that. But other stuff, and you still have gifts, because so many of us can sing, we can pray. You know what I'm saying? It's not entertainment, but we can praise God. We can sing for the glory of God. It's not entertainment, though. And like you said, the list goes on and on. God can get the glory out of anything, even entertainment. Even it, because you can have Christian television shows and Christian singing and comedy and stuff like that. But, you know, we're not going to go too much further than that, because a lot of times, and that's just me, some people go further than that. But when you're in the ministry, you have to watch what you do, because people watching you. It's a commercial come on TV, and this young guy, he's on there, and he had went and bought his mom some crown royal in a bag. And on the commercial, he said, look at that preacher. He coming out the liquor store. I saw that. It just seemed like it just tear the believer down, the Christians down, when they make stuff like that, when they do stuff. And I know if I saw it, everybody else saw it, because they play it over and over and over again. And then he took the stuff right to his mom. And she said, you the best son. No, you don't drink with your children. No way. See, and but they, hey, Rev, that's what they called him. Hey, Rev, these are things you don't want as a minister, as a prophetess. You don't want that kind of stuff because they're going to be looking at you. How are you going to tell me to stop and you doing it? How you going to help me? You can't help yourself. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to drink, but God said don't get drunk. To me, just me now. The word of God says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost dwells within us. You think he wants some drink, some Crown Royal? On him? No, he going to make a mad dash out of you, and you ain't going to have him there. That's how I look at it. He don't want that stuff on him. Sometimes when I drink coffee, I be thinking about, is this too much? Because I don't want nothing, not one thing I do to come between me and God. Nothing. So we have to really ponder that. I'm not saying there's nothing, something wrong with drinking wine. Or, you know, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is pay attention. Just notice. Because the word of God, I didn't say this. The word of God says the Holy Ghost dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's where he lives, within us. You don't want to be drunk? Mm-mm. Well, we're going to go on. The Christian ministry is a special type of calling. For some, it may come in a sudden and dramatic fashion, such as God's call to Samuel in the night, or Paul's shattering experience on the road to Damascus. You know, I don't know who had an experience when they were called, but I know I did. I was in the Baptist church. My husband was pastor in the Baptist church. I was the first lady when I got called. So when God was giving me what to preach, I was giving it to him. And I did about 6 times. And this all came after God had visited me one night. He visited me. He called me the quiet one. He asked me, had I ever seen his glory? I said, no, God. And he showed me just the brightest ball of clouds or whatever that was, the brightest light in a ball. And it was just turning and twirling and twisting. He said, this is my glory. He showed me his glory. And I thank God for the experience. I thank God for it. It was on an Easter Sunday morning by 4 o'clock in the morning. He showed me that. So that was an experience. But after that, it was after that, he was started giving me sermons. And I'm like, why, you know, and I give them to him because, believe me, he was not going to let me preach nothing, nothing. So I would give them to him. And after about the 4th or 5th time, I heard the Lord say, if I give them to you, I can just as easily give them to him. And I didn't catch on at first. And then I'm like, he right. You don't have to give them to me to take to him. He could just give them to him. But they was for me. So it took me another 30 days. But I went and told him that God was calling me to preach. And when I tell you, it was just hell after that. You know, when you marry, just when you, I'm not going to say unequally yoked, but when you marry to someone that don't believe that women ministers and preachers can be used by God, you messed up. You just messed up. So we went, you know, we talked, and he just let me know, you can't get up in my pulpit. You can't do nothing but pray in this church. Nothing. God gave me this ministry. oh, he just laid the law down. I didn't say nothing. I was like, God, well, if you want me to preach, you're going to have to make a way. And he did several times. So don't let things like that discourage you, because if God called you, he's going to provide everything that you need to do what he called you to do. He's going to do it. So don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged and do what God tells you to do. That's for sure. Is there any questions or comments or anything? Okay. We're going to finish this. Okay. For others, it may be a slowly growing realization that professional ministry, above all other callings, is what they are best qualified to do. And for still others, it may be the result of intense questioning and self-searching. How can I best serve God in making this a better world? Well, first of all, you can serve God, but you leave making the world better to God. I feel like God calls us to bring souls to him, to witness, to serve him, for sure to be a servant, but not try to make the world better, to be a helper in any kind of way you can, but things that you cannot do on your own, you know, well, you can't do really nothing on your own, but what I'm saying is, like, making the world better, just traveling, trying to do this, do that. If God give it to you, do it, but if God call you to be his minister, he wants you to work on saving souls and doing what you can for the people, being a servant. So important is our response that we need to test ourselves. If you send a call of God to the ministry, sense the call. If you sense a call of God to the ministry, there are questions you may ask yourself, such as, is my commitment to Christ strong enough to withstand discouragement and disappointment? Because you know as soon as you get a calling, as soon as you get what you all already have, then here come the discouragement. Here come the disappointment. The enemy start working. You want to make sure you don't enjoy nothing. You know, he just throwing stuff, because I've heard a lot of people say, when I joined church, I thought everything was going to get better, and they just got worse. Well, that's the way the enemy works. He wants you to walk back away. That's not good. That's not good. So, I feel like we should help each other, encourage each other. You know, we need to pray. See, the most important thing in this book, it didn't say anything about praying, but like I told the young lady this morning, when you get so where you don't know what to do, you pray. You will never go wrong. You will never, ever go wrong if you pray. When you're back up against the wall, go into prayer. Go into prayer. When you don't know what to do, Lord, which way, what should I do? I need to call somebody. Call on Jesus and pray. And before you get up, or as soon as you do get up, God going to tell you, he's saying, all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. We should pray. Even in this, I don't care if we ministers, ordained, preacher, pastor, apostle, bishop, whatever. We need to go to God in prayer and seek his face when we don't know what else to do. It's important. Is my commitment to Christ strong enough to withstand discouragement? And it should be. for when you minister to people, they say all kind of stuff to you, all kind of bad stuff to you, hurt your feeling, everything, everything. They don't be wanting to hear it. Nothing about Christ. Nothing. But we got to still ask God, pray, how can I go to her? Show me how to minister to him. Show me how to be a witness, the best witness I can be for you, Lord. How can I serve? That's why I always come, what can I do? How can I help? Because that's what God expects for me to do. And that's what I love to do, is serve God's people. Serve them. Okay. Do I care enough, Prophetess Moore? You need to mute your phone. Do I care enough about other people that I can live? Oh.
It's not me, Apostle. My phone muted.
Okay. Somebody. Okay. Do I care enough about other people that I can lay aside my own concerns when necessary in order to deal with theirs? We have to do that. We have to do that. We got to do it, whether we like it or not. Sometimes, you know, we're down and out and whooped and all kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then somebody call you to pray for them when you need prayer yourself. You need a word from God yourself.
Can I say something, Apostle?
Oh, yes, you can.
And another thing that my thing is that I will have to work on is put myself aside, like take my feelings out. Say, for instance, because somebody made this example to me, like a woman, a married woman, come to you and tell you her husband cheated on her and gave her AIDS or something. So do you tell her to get out the marriage, or do you tell her to stick with her husband? Now, my position, I'm supposed to tell them, you know, get counseling, work it out. But me being the human that I am, girl, you better leave that alone, you know. That's something that I will have to work on, as well as being a minister, because I have to take myself out instead of saying, if it was me, you know. But no, what I'm supposed to be saying is pray, have God lead you, you know, in whatever God tell you, or work on your marriage. So I need it.
Well, we all do. We all learning. I had that to happen to me. I had that to happen to me when I was married to the bishop. A couple came, and they joined church. But they came for counseling first. The girl, his wife, worked at the post office, and he worked at somewhere. I forgot. And she had been to bed with this man several times and had AIDS. And she didn't know how to tell her husband. And I told her, I said, you cannot keep keeping this from him. I said, you cannot, because he is a man. He going to want to know why you don't want to have sex. You cannot keep this from him. You're going to have to tell him, can you do it? I cannot. I will not. It's for you to do, not for me. And they separated for a while. They separated for a while, but they came back together. They got back together. But they were married, and these guys at this post office, something else. I'm telling you, I had heard that for many years, but when somebody new come in, she hadn't been there that long, young lady. And she hadn't had an affair with this man, and he had AIDS, and she got it. And, you know, all I could do, she was young, they were young, all I could do was cry with her, hold her, pray for her, you know, and tell her the right thing, that what I would think for them to do, and what God would tell, have me to tell them to do, surely wasn't going to tell her to leave them, because she, you know, she wanted to do that anyway, because she didn't feel like she should have, she should tell him. But yeah, that's your husband. Y'all won. Y'all, you took a vow. So you have to do that. And God is expecting every minister to tell the truth, you know, to do the right thing. And we all have to work on it, because we have emotions, and it's hard sometimes. But we have to tell them the truth. I don't care how bad it hurts. We have to tell them what's right in God's eyesight. And it hurts bad sometimes, because when God say do something, he mean do it. He mean do it. He don't play with us as his call ministers. He don't play with us. Mm-hmm. Let's see what I want. Do I have sufficient education or educational plans to carry out my duties in a manner that will be pleasing to the Lord? Am I physically able to work long hours when necessary? Can I make myself clearly understood when I speak? It also helps to get the opinions of experienced ministers, such as active or retired pastors who can counsel you. Some persons test themselves by enrolling in a theological school for a semester or two and accepting a small student pastorate or assistant pastorate under field work supervision so as to see what their new life would be like. But I feel like, I mean, it's always good to know more. But when you study the word of God, I feel like long as you know that word, I mean, I went to school. I got bachelor's, master's, and doctorate. I'm still Deborah. I'm still Deborah. That stuff wasn't easy. I told the Lord I didn't want to go back to school no more in my life. I've been to school all my life. Just stopped a few years ago in 2016. And I'm still the same person, because God can show, even though we learn and we study, God going to tell us the way he wants us to do it, regardless of what the books say. The way, because these books are written by even atheists. It's one of them Bibles. I think it's the Amplified Bible. I think that's the Bible. Was written by an atheist. That's why a lot of times you have to watch yourself. If you don't believe in God, why is he writing the Bible? Mm-mm. So, am I physically able to work long hours when necessary? You have to. My phone never goes off. I never cut my phone off unless there's something wrong with it, and I cut it right back on. Because people call me all time, day and night, night and day, not just for prayer, for counseling, you know, just need some comforting. And when I was in the Baptist church, I would have to go with my husband to their houses 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning. Even here, I had to do some stuff like that. So that's one thing you have to think about being a minister. That's why they were saying it can't be women preachers. But God says different. That's why you have a husband. And when you don't have a husband, you have God. I'm telling you, God knows just what to do. Just what to do. Being a leader in the church, you have to, you can't be closed up, and we are women. So ain't no need of you going in the office shutting the door when a man want to ask you something. You either have somebody else in there with you, or you leave that door open. You know, you have to cover your own self. God got you covered, but God give you wisdom. I wouldn't dare, not dare, go in an office and close the door with a man, letting his head. Either somebody going to be in there with me, or the door going to stay open. Or I get a man to talk to a man. Or you talk to Apostle Dean. That's the way it is. Because, and some of them don't mean any harm, but some of them do. Mm-hmm. And you have to work long hours. You have to. I'm not talking about you as having a church. I'm talking about you just being a minister. Just being a minister, because some of this stuff that I got on me, every one of y'all going to have a piece of it. Because I got a lot of people coming to me now, a lot of apostles, a lot of prophets, and I do need your help. And just regular people that need praying for, need talking to, they be calling me to just talk to them. You know, just try to, you know, keep them going, keep them in God. You know, we still witnessing to them, making sure, you know that they want to ask questions and what can I do this, and if I get saved, can I do that, and just all kind of stuff. And I'm going to just divide it. I'm just going to divide it as soon as it won't be long. So you're going to have to learn what you can do and what you can't do and how you can do it. I'm going to give you some time, but you're going to get some people calling you. You're going to have to pray for people, not just on this line, but anytime they need you on call duty, you on a call duty, you get a chance to answer the phones tonight when people call, maybe for a week, and somebody else do it the next, so you can get experience and know what people need and want. You know, you have to pray, stay before the Lord, but I can't do it by myself. And God knows this is how you learn. This is how you learn. Any questions or comments?
Yes, I have a comment, I guess, Apostle. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the teaching. And as you're telling us about this portion, I'm hearing availability.
Amen.
As men to make, hallelujah, ourselves available for the people. And, you know, because like you said, sometimes people may need you in the midnight hour. You know, God tells us in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So when you don't know what to do or you don't know what to say, God's word is always prevalent.
Yes.
As we are studying his word and his hallelujah, and his word becomes within us, he gives us the vehicle. He gives us what to say. So, you know, if we, you know, I'm just saying this. I'm not there, but I'm gonna get there because I know you, like you said, you're going to put the work out there for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Availability. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I believe, too, it's like a job, you know. When you get on the job, you know, it's like on the job training until you, you know, when you come across this situation, like you were talking about how to minister to a woman who calls you and her husband is cheating. And I can, you know, I hear what Ray Ray is saying, too, about taking yourself out of it and being, learning how, you know, to put it in the right context to the person.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff just that you were saying is very enlightening. And it's an area I have not discovered, but I'm looking forward to it because as servants of the Lord, it's rewarding. I think it's going to be rewarding just to serve, just to be able to help others.
Yes. Yes, it is. Amen. You're right, Prophet, Minister Prophetess Brown. It's a blessing to be able to serve. It's a blessing to be used by God in every way, in any way that God want to use you, even if it's standing at the back door, shaking everybody's hand on the way in and on the way out. Do the best and be the best at the handshake. I've been there. I had to do that. I had to clean bathrooms and commodes. I had to do what I had to do. I had to do that. Whatever it was that God needed me to do in the church and out of the church, I was there doing it. Even on the pastor's and first lady's anniversary, I was cleaning the church. I was doing this. I was the usher, and they was like, and all the churches was there, and Bishop was sitting up there, and they was like, man, where your wife at? I'm working. I'm ushering. And he said, there she is. And they said, why you not in a suit, and why you not sitting up here? My chair was up there. But let me tell you something, like I told them, I don't have time to sit and try to adorn myself and do this and that. I'm a servant of God, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm trying to work the work that God sent me, why he called me. And I wasn't even a minister then because, see, I was a minister, but he wouldn't let me preach. So I worked in the church however I could, and I wasn't finna sit there like, oh, with this big hat on and all this kind of stuff. No, I'm working for God. I'm working for God. I don't have time. Mm-mm. I'm trying to serve the people, and that's what I did. That's what I did. And I'm so grateful to God that he accepted me just like I was. Even though he wouldn't let me preach in there, God opened the door where I had to preach to 500 people. 500 people. When he thought they was calling for him, they was calling for me. See how God will do things? I was shaking in my boots. But God. He didn't know what to say and how to do it and what to do. But I knew it. It was way in Florida. But God, that's why I love him so, because he'll show up time you need him. And then it says, if you come through such testing and questioning firmly, convinced that God wants you in the pastor's ministry, more power to you. If not, it is better that you know the truth and seek your calling in some other field where your talents can be used. But this is just the book talking about. We're talking about ministers. We're not even talking about pastoring right now. But just being a minister it's a lot to do. Just being used by God, being a prophetess. You know, when you pray for people, you can't sit up and say what you think they want to hear. Oh, you're going to get a car and God going to bless you and with a house and God going to all this kind of stuff. Mm-mm. That's why people get on, be searching for folks prophesying, because they want to hear that. They want to hear that. But God holding us accountable for what we do and say. He holding you accountable. He don't want us prophesying. If you not sure, don't you say a word. It's been many, many times when God gave me one word to give to somebody. That young lady says, "That is?" I said, "It's all I heard." She didn't know what to say. She said, "Okay, short and sweet." I said, "Yeah." But that's all he gave me. Mm-mm. And when he see he can do that, he'll give you more. But he going to see what you're going to do with that. He said so many other things to me this morning that I could not say on that live. These are things that we need to be taught, because God is the one that speaks to us. We can't be taught how to. You can be taught how to hear God because you think it yourself, but and it be God speaking. But you're going to learn that eventually. You got to learn how to do it for other people. When you minister, you know, when we had had a banquet and a consecration service here about 3 or 4 years ago, and a prophet man got up because he knew this couple. He got up and he prophesied to the young lady. He said, God said he's going to stop that bleeding that you have. He will not have to give you a hysterectomy. He's just going to stop the bleeding. God didn't tell him to say that in front of a place full of people. You cannot tell me that. And she just, her head just dropped. Do you hear me? You cannot go. Pull the lady to the side. Say whatever God tell you to say. Could have called up and said, "I need to whisper this in your ear." But her husband was looking crazy, and she was too. That ain't how God works. The Holy Ghost don't work like that. You just can't say everything that you hear. And if they want to know what it is, they'll contact you. I'm not going to do something like that, ever. Not my intention. Not my intention. Because God is not pleased with that. See the shame come on her face. Because you didn't have to tell these people I was bleeding. Hemorrhaging, he said. You didn't have to say that? Mm-mm. Didn't have to say it. So, and let me just finish this paragraph. We're not going to even get off the fifth page. But if you come through such testing and questioning firmly convinced that God wants you in the ministry, this is pastoral ministry, more power to you. If not, it's better that you know the truth and seek your calling. You all already know God called you as whatever you are. And you have to be developed. It's a long way. I'm saying these things because of the 35, 40 years I've been in the ministry. See, I pastored for 30 years. See, through some, I've started many churches, at least 6, 7. I know how to get stuff. I know God has really showed me a lot and blessed me to get to do a lot. So is there any more comments? or questions, anything, because on next Wednesday we'll start from ordination, and then I'm going to have some more things for you to look over paper. I'll send it to each one of you. Okay. Okay, and it says, sometimes we all have other talents, but God don't call us for talents. You know what I'm saying? We are here to serve. We're here to help His people. We're here to minister that word, to teach that word, and to rely on the Lord for all of it. That's what we're here for. That's why we were consecrated. That's why we were ordained and set apart. Set apart. And another thing, the most important thing, too, is when somebody that you're ministering to confide in you, don't go discuss it with nobody else. Don't do that. I could have discussed, because I was young in the ministry, when the young lady came to me about she had AIDS and was afraid to tell her husband. I needed to tell somebody, because I was just like, what? And she was crying so hard and so bad. But I couldn't talk to nobody. I was afraid to tell my ex-husband. But I told God about it. And He told me what to tell her. And that's who you tell. I mean, sometimes when it gets just so hard, you can come to the pastor, or me, or the apostle, whatever, to get, you know, to make sure you're doing the right thing. But you don't want nobody's business to come from here to there to there. I had to learn that. I did. I had to learn that. And business means anything that they tell you. Anything that they tell you. It could be a little thing. You know, so you have to keep that in mind. Amen. And I'm not going to hold you all any longer. I thought we was going to fly through this. But we're not. We're going to be having a leadership class for a while until it's time for some more leaders to come. You know, and God is pleased with you when you're searching and you're trying to find out how to be the best servant, the best leader you can be for God. That's what He wants. So we're going to get ready to, if it's nothing else, if anybody don't have any other questions about it. And I will get you all, like I said, I found a place that will shrink your license and ordination and stuff. And I'm going to have them shrunk. And I'm going to mail them to each one of them so that you can always have something in your wallet when you get ready to step in somebody's church or pulpit, when they say, well, who are you, or what is this, or even if you at the police station or at an event and they need somebody to pray or whatever, you'll have something. Say, I'm a preacher, I'm a minister, let me pray. You know, you don't never know when you might need it. And you have it in your purse, in your pocket. So, and that's my next step, to do that. So we're going to get ready to close out. God bless you all, and thank you for coming on this first night of the leadership class. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come just thanking you, God, for opening up our understanding, thanking you, God, for allowing us to just study together, just to know the things that we must do and how we must do them, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you right now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover their families on tonight. Cover their homes on tonight, God, in the vehicle that they drive, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask all these things. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. God bless you all. I love you. We're coming back here next week on Wednesday. Amen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Love you.
Amen. Love you too. Good night.
Love you. Thank you.
God bless you. Love you all. You're welcome. God bless you.